In the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament, we read how Israel repeatedly betrayed their God and worshipped instead idols of their own device. In reality, this was rejecting the rule of God in their lives and setting themselves up in His place. Did such arrogant, self-serving rebellion end with the Old Testament? Or do we see so-called Christians sunk deeply in such sin today? And what about ourselves? Find out the whole truth in the book Baal Worship in America by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available for a $10 offering U.S. funds. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And that old wheel, it has rolled around again. It keeps on rolling. We welcome you here live. It's the days are getting longer. It's almost sunrise here at the Radio Ranch, but it's a cold and blustery one. But that's all right, because it is winter time, and we do have a full house this morning. We'll bring all the men on. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Tim from Nebraska with us. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul as well. Good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
We do say good morning to you, the remnant. Hopefully you've said good morning to the Lord this morning in your prayers. Hopefully you've gotten up and prayed up and armored up. And we thank you for joining us. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. And the phone lines are open this morning. So if you have a question or a comment and where we go, after this prayer by Jason, who knows? But Jason, we'd ask you to open us up, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, Father. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the warm weather. We thank you for the cold weather, Father. We thank you for tending to our each and every need, and we just ask that you continue to look out after us, guide us and direct us on all that we do, and Father, allow us to be a light into a dark world and to be a blessing to your people. We pray, Father, that you that you deal with our enemies as you see fit, Father. See to it that they are subdued and bound and bundled and escorted to your feet and dealt with according to your wishes and your command. Father, we ask that you just strengthen us and encourage us, Father, and just use us in a mighty and powerful way. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Well, Remnant, I'd also encourage you to keep in prayer. I know Texas and Arkansas had some tornadoes, severe wind gusts blowing tractor trailers off the road, blocking Interstate. I think Interstate 40 was shut down for a while. And it looks like it's still going to go on through the weekend, maybe up across the Midwest and through the northeast part of the country. So I encourage you to keep those that are His, that are in the path of these storms, in your prayer for deliverance and for protection. When the Bible talks about Christ being a refuge in the storm, we picture the physical storms, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, blizzards, depending on where you're at, floods, those type of storms. And Christ is, can be, a refuge in those physical storms. And, I remember hearing a testimony years ago of a woman that had a tornado bearing down on her home. And she got out and then just proclaimed in Jesus' name for that storm to abate, and it did. And so I think these physical storms are certainly can be faith building events. They can be opportunities for us for that. Christ is also that refuge in the spiritual storms that come in our life, whether they're health issues or issues with work or with family. That Christ is that refuge, that He has that strength and that comfort, that peace we talk about that surpasses all understanding, that is available if we turn to Him. So whether it's the physical storms or the spiritual, we do have that refuge, and if we will turn to Him, if we'll take His hand that is extended out to us. And so many of our people in this nation today are just, they have not been brought up with that. They're not aware of it. They haven't read it in their Bible. But it is there. It is available. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. One of the stories that caught my eye this week was all the international brands that have to apologize to China, and it goes on a list. And basically, it starts off, and it's basically, I guess there's this big campaign on people apologizing to China for, I guess, a whole slew of different things. So we won't go into that, but basically, China's has got a kind of a monopoly on. You think about how much stuff that we buy and consume from China each and every day. When you really stop and think about it, and if you start keeping track, it is scary how much stuff that we're purchasing from China. And if you start looking at those ships that are coming in from China each and every day, that is even scarier. I don't know, thinking this week, if all of a sudden all those cargo ships just stopped, if they just stopped coming, there is everything from vehicle parts, from repairing vehicles to repairing computers to repairing, microchips, computer screens. I mean, there's a lot of things that we use in industry that is not even produced in this country anymore. It's kind of crazy. I mean, you think about the clothing that people are wearing, the things that that people just take for granted that we do not produce here in the United States. It's just astounding. And now they want to come out and want people to start apologizing to China for competing with them in business and not selling enough of their products. But, I mean, the list goes on and on, and I did get it posted up on the Newswire. It's worth read, but it was just to go down part of the list. It was Dior, the NBA, Swarovski, Valentino, Calvin Klein, Coach, Fresh, Oasis, Gelbic, Coco, McDonald's, 85 Degree Bakery, Gap, Mercedes-Benz, Marriott, Delta Airlines, and the list can just go on and on and on. It's just crazy. But you know, that's one of the things that people need to think about, especially in light of war. We know that you know, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars at in an end time, which we don't know all the details on what an end time is going to in detail, but we know that those things are going to be happening, and we know that we've had wars and we've had rumors of wars, and we're seeing it just about every time you turn on the news right now, and have for the last several years, but it's increased dramatically. So one of the things that people need to think about is what happens in war. Well, in war, when war happens, number one and one of the most things that is affected is supply lines. And you start thinking about that, and you start thinking about supply lines and cargo ships and import-exports in light of war. You know, it's something that people need to be aware of, and they need to start thinking about it. I mean, everything from, you know, batteries to the clothes that are on their back.
Yeah, that's why it was so significant. We talked about it here several months ago, but when President Trump introduced the tariffs on steel and aluminum, that was huge because it gave the American steel and aluminum producers
a chance
back into the marketplace. Yeah, because for the longest time, I mean, all you heard about was steel mills closing and aluminum producing mills and all that. But, you know, the enemy understands that too, that you can't fight a war if you can't produce steel and aluminum. That's just bottom line.
Well, you look at the steel industry, and they have steel mill after steel mill after steel mill that was closed down. And when China is coming and buying junk cars, all of a sudden that our scrap market falls through the floor. We go through from $380 a ton down to $30 a ton. And they're after the last steel mill closes, and then they're taking junk cars and they're crushing them, and they're taking them back to China to refine them, and then shipping the steel back to us after it's been refined at a lower quality than we've ever had in history,
and a lower cost.
Yeah, exactly. You know, which is a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, you wonder.
Well, they know that, and they understand that quite well.
Inferior materials are going to catch up with us.
Well, they're saying that even the car bodies and stuff that were made with the steel is, you know, basically they didn't get the rust out of it. So the stuff that they did make and they did use on it is rusting easier. It's coming through. It's popping holes in it. You know, it was an inferior product. It wasn't worth importing, and you know, and they did that by design.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, it's a real opportunity for America to get a leg back up, because even the buy American, or buy, you know, in the USA these days, is a lot of times we don't know what we're buying. I mean, it's not really made here; it's imported, repackaged, repurged, assembled here. There's all these loopholes that they use, and so it's an opportunity for, you know, for our country to get back on the bus and get productive again and actually get some craftsmanship and make some real things. And I think one of the other things that's interesting on it is the fact that we've got this trade deficit that's been going on for years and years, and I don't know what it is. It's, again, those are numbers that are beyond comprehension, but when you look at the fact that I just seen an article the other day that said China absolutely cannot physically support its population for food. It's not possible. They can't get along without us, which is that's the other reason the tariffs are significant, is because it's like we do have something that's not, you know, we've given it to you. You've given us the shaft on everything that comes in, and that's where this trade deficit's come from. And, you know, we have something that is necessary for them, and we've been giving it to them, you know, to our own damage as far as that goes. And so this is an opportunity for those things to step up. And you talk about the war issues. I mean, we've talked, I know Jason and I talked about it one time, but it's significant that there's We don't even have any lead mines, zero, in this country. I mean, there's no lead, you know, being produced or anything else. There's just, but yeah, from chainsaws to dog food, there's all this stuff coming over, and it's all got issues. I mean, we, you know, so definitely an opportunity and time for some eyes to be opened up and see what's going on.
Yeah, the other thing that's happened through all this, though, is that the technology that we've had from God's grace as European nation has been stolen, too, as we bring over the equipment and the presses and all of the things that are necessary to produce these items. There's a large percentage of them that have been stolen and produced by Chinese manufacturers for less money. So it kind of backfired on a lot of these industries that made a big windfall as they first moved their operations over because of the labor market, not having to pay benefits and things like that. But I think, just like Tim was saying, the tariffs are more significant than most people realize, too. And that's why, you know, most of our Congress is up in arms about that stuff, too, because there ain't one of them that ain't a millionaire. Come in with nothing, leave with millions, because they've made deals with these other countries, China and whatever else. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, well,
The good news is the things in the dark are being brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. There's confusion in the camp of the enemy, and we're starting to see a little bit of righteous judgment. I think that's something we need to continue to pray. The thought occurred to me just this morning that John Roberts, the one who basically decided that Obamacare was legitimate and legal, is the one that will be presiding over the trial in the Senate of President Trump regarding the impeachment. So we really need to be praying for righteous judgment with regards to John Roberts as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to take this all a step further, why this all happened. God said the stranger will rule over you. See, this country yep. went immoral a long time ago. And everybody, you know, America has destroyed itself by buying sheep. That local businessman needs your business. You buy out of a big box store, all the profit goes to the headquarters and stuff. And this is why all these corporations that Jason just listed are for this, because they know how this thing works and they're living off it just fine. But the poor guy yeah. out here that's running a hole is starving to death. They're living off. But see, God delights in destroying his people when they won't keep his commandments. And this is who's behind this whole thing originally. We need repentance is what it amounts to, and a love for your brother.
Amen. Well, you can see that Amazon is trumping all of that. You know, now they got their own vans. You see their vans running all over the place. And it's kind of funny because I bet you the U.S. Postal Service and UPS and all that, they're like, oh, this is great, man. We got tons of, you know, we got all this business with Amazon, this and that. Just like that, boom, they cut them off. They go and buy their own trucks, hire their own people. Just
when I was down south of me this last week, and I came back, and there was I passed six Amazon trucks, brand new Sprinter
vans
within probably a 10 mile radius. Ran into six of them, and it was just crazy. You know, but even at that, the post office still, they had the little post office here in LaPorte had to put a special portable building up next to the post office. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning, they get two pallets of stuff delivered that they have to put in into boxes. Two pallets every day into the town of LaPorte, 6 days a week. And
that's for now. You know that's going to increase.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, you
kind of sad how lazy. Go ahead, Paul.
No, John, go ahead.
Oh, was that Richard? Sorry, Richard. Yeah, it's sad how lazy we've become as a people if you think about it. It's easier for us to get online and click a button and, you know, but they're pretty smart because what they've done is most companies, they ask you if you want them to store your credit card information and you say no, right? But Amazon, all of a sudden they have your credit card information and it pops up and all you got to do is push a button and you don't have to spend 10 minutes entering all that information. And then, you know, the convenience of it, just like drive-thrus. I don't know if you ever go into a restaurant that has a drive-thru. If you go up to the counter, you're not treated as priority at all. It's that drive-thru that's priority. And sometimes you got to say, hey, wait a minute. I got out of my car. I walked in here to make an order because there was no line, and the car, you know, the line was a mile long. Not that I eat fast food or anything. But anyways, you see what I'm saying? I mean, our society has become so lazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
the lazy, the convenience factor of it, too, is it's insane how fast you can get something when you order it online. It used to be, you know, you wanted something, you needed something, you go down and find it. Go buy it at the store. Now you order it. And you can have it, and it's not a lot of stuff. You can have it the next day, if not 2 days later.
Same day.
People get upset when it's like, oh, I can't get this for 2 days. And it's like, but, you know, the other sad part of it is, I mean, you try to go find a bearing in town. Try to find something that you need, any kind of specialty item, and all the stores in town basically quit carrying it. I mean, there's so much stuff that used to be stocked. You used to have a hardware store that would have a bearing selection. They don't have it anymore. They have specialty tools, specialty sandpapers. I mean, you name it, you could get it. You could go to your sporting goods store. You could get 155 grain bullets. You could get 230 grain bullets. You could get, I mean, basically any bullet you wanted. They had two rolls of bullets and two rows of powder. You can't get it, and it's like even the sporting goods stores quit carrying this stuff because, oh, you just got to get it online.
Yeah, and if you go down to do that, you know, they're like, well, I can order it, but it'll take it 4 or 5 days to get here, you know.
And it'll cost you an extra $20.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
that's the brilliant thing. They made it two-day delivery and free, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, John, don't have to leave the comfort of your wherever you're at.
Yeah, I think it ties back in, like you mentioned earlier, John, Jason, about the cheap steel. You know, our China, and they've taken our scrap and then they recycle it. They make it into steel, then they go to sell it here. But the quality is not what it once was. It's certainly not Philadelphia steel. It's not steel out of Pittsburgh, the way steel out of Pittsburgh used to be. In any way, shape, form, or fashion, and we see the same thing. I think in our, I think that was a good example of our quality of life here. You can get anything you want 2 days, and Amazon will deliver it. But what kind of quality is it? And it doesn't support, you know, the local guy down at the hardware store. That's you know, the baseball, the Pee Wee League is asking him to support them, and everybody else is asking, you know, for a handout from him for, you know, support this team and this school and that school. But is the community supporting him? And I think it highlights just a whole change in our, you know, in our community. Yeah, where are people at? They're not down at the hardware store on Saturday, you know, looking for those, maybe those certain bullets or that certain sandpaper or this or that. It's order it and you know, let the drone deliver it. Let Amazon deliver it, and even those Amazon deliveries. You know, used to a post office job was a really good job. You know, the guys, neither snow nor sleet nor hail nor wind will keep them from delivering the mail to you. You know, and we used to hear that. Well, you know, things changed a little bit and you had UPS and FedEx. Fred Smith with FedEx, you know, he built that company, did a great job, you know, convinced you that when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight. You know, he brought that into our society. And for years, you know, the UPS, the FedEx jobs have been good jobs with quality, for the most part, a quality delivery. Well, now it's like everything else. You know, you want it overnight, we'll get it to you overnight. You want it free, we'll get it to you free. You know, but with this big growth in Amazon, and, you know, people are saying, oh, man, I wish I'd have bought their stock 10 years ago. You know, is it going to last? And I sure don't think it will. As this, you know, so-called, the service is not there, the quality is not there. Just like we saw in the steel that you talked about, just like we see in the auto parts. You know, I had to buy a radiator for a truck here a month or two ago. Guess what? Made in China. Now, there's a little warehouse down there in Fort Collins that had probably 300 radiators in there, maybe 3,000. But it looked like every one of them had that same stamp on it, made in China. So when you need an alternator for your truck or your car or a radiator, you know, we used to, yeah, you had to wait 3 or 4 days, but it came out of, you know, they made them down in Birmingham, or they made them somewhere in the country. And it's just all that has changed, all that is done, and people think it's better. I don't think it is. I don't know.
I think they got their sights set on taking over the world. I mean, you can't tell me that Amazon started with some man named Jeff Bezos. Got news for you. It was government, just like Google and everything else. And, you know, now that they're in the food industry, having purchased Whole Foods, and now the delivery. I mean, you can do your grocery list online, send it electronically to Whole Foods, and have it delivered to your house. So the service and the cost and all that.
And save 10%.
Yeah. And that's what's going to put everybody out of business. I mean, the shopping malls are dying. I mean, it's exponentially now. If you've been to the mall lately, it's exponentially how quickly these stores are folding. The other thing I was going to say is if you need more than two of anything, you're in trouble too, because the inventory that these local stores carry anymore, like a hardware store or anything like that. I mean, I was going to just buy a couple outlets just to replace some outlets because I didn't want to buy, you know, 10 or 12 or whatever. They had like one of each. So I've had to go like a Tractor Supply, go to two different locations to get four because they only stock two. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It used to be that there was adequate inventory in some of this stuff. And the guys that are trying to stay in business have had to look at ways to stay in business, and a lot of those ways are by cutting their inventory, and that's usually just a step before they go under as well.
It is. Well, guys, let's take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. It's Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Morning, Joe.
You were talking about imports and things. I happen to have a real preference in my footwear because I spend a lot of time on my feet, and I've for the last 20 years or so, one of my favorite footwear for work or anything is they call them mock toes, and for years and years, I mean, I can remember in grade school, my friends, every once in a while, they'd come to school with mock toe boot. And if you ever seen one, it's got the very spongy sole on it. And they wear like iron. And you can get them with the steel caps. You can get them with aluminum caps. You can get them lined if you want. It's going to cost a little more. But about 20 years ago, I used to go to JCPenney all the time and buy them because they were inexpensive, and they, like I said, they wore like you could easily get 3 years' use out of them before you saw it, the uppers would break and start to unravel before the sole went bad. But soon after that, I'd say 5 years after that, about 15 years ago, the price it started climbing a little bit. Pretty soon you'd have to pay up almost $10 more, and the quality was missing You could still get a couple of years out of them, but they would fall apart sooner. And the availability shrunk, Tom. JCPenney, I believe, went out of business, so that outlet is now gone. But in the last year, I've noticed that the cost of footwear has gone down. And believe it or not, they're being made not in America anymore, but at least they're being made in the Western Hemisphere. Places like Brazil and Argentina are now making footwear. So I'd suggest if you can find an outlet, for anybody that likes specialty shoes like me, hunt around, and if you find a good one for a good price, you know, get half a dozen of them before the trend stops.
Yeah, good point, Joe.
Yeah, I agree. And, I'm with you, Joe. I understand. It's like, you know, taking care of your feet is extremely important. And, I made up my mind a long time ago that I ain't going to buy boots if they ain't made in the United States. At least on the Northern Hemisphere, I ain't going to buy stuff that was made in China. I grew up going to the Tony Lama factory. My uncles took me to the Tony Lama factory when I was probably 7 or 8 years old and had my first pair of cowboy boots handmade for me down in El Paso, Texas. And I'd been a fan of Tony Lama boots for years, and I mean, that's all I wore. And then when they jumped ship and went south of the border, it was the last pair of boots I ever bought from them. And, they used to make a good quality boot. It was good leather. You could get them resold. You could take them to any local boot shop and have a new set of soles put on them for $30. And, they did a good job. Now you can't even find a repair shop hardly.
Back in New Jersey where I grew up, there was the one and only cobbler. And he was a real cobbler. When you went in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, he was already covered with polish. His arms were black and his face was all smudged. And a little Italian guy, you know. And I brought a pair of combat boots. They were a little small for me because I have size 12 gunboats and they're like triple E or something. And I said, can you stretch these for me? And he said, yeah, sure. Come back in a few days and I'll have them ready for you. And for $10, I got my military issue clodhoppers stretched to where I could fit my feet in there. And I $10 for a guy that uses his hands, and this is like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you know. Those guys are gone by the boards.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, there was a tractor repair place not too far from where I live here in Pennsylvania. And as soon as Obamacare started becoming the thing, they had to close up shop. They just completely got everything out of there, sold it. And the daughter opened up in one of the larger towns in our area. She opened up a shop that sells clothing and equipment for the gas industry. They're flame-proof clothing and stuff like that. So at least the family has got some kind of business going where they can fall back on.
Well, the good news is a lot of industries being brought back into America, and part of that is because of the tariffs and the things that our president's doing. So whether you like him or not, like we said a million times, he's not a saint. I believe God.
Well, consider the alternative, John.
Yeah,
we can't field a halfway decent presidential candidate. If he ever tells the truth about certain things, he'll either be committed to an insane asylum or a shot. If he ever gets elected.
Yeah, but one of the things he's done to wake up the American people more than anything, I think, is expose the fake news. And
he's got a big mouth, and I like it.
Yeah, he
ruffles a lot of feathers, and you know the old saying: you draw flak, you're pretty close to your target.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It is.
Well, thanks for the call, Joe. Get it.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe.
Have a good one, guys.
You too.
God bless.
All right.
I was gonna say, Paul. I got to tell you, I really appreciated that book, Natural Cattle Care, by Pat Colby. You got me onto that book, and I was reading that book this week, and it was I started reading that book, and I'll tell you what, it was almost prophetic because it starts off in that book. I don't know if you remember, but in the beginning of that book, it started off talking about all the problems that they were going to have in Australia if they didn't start making some changes. And Pat's from Australia, from what I understand, or spent a lot of time over there. But basically, in the first three chapters of that book, it starts off talking about how if they don't start changing everything, it's a time bomb, and it's going to be explode into wildfire over there. And we've kind of seen that happening.
Yep, it's going on before our eyes.
Yeah.
Rachel Carson, I've never read her book either. She was saying, I thought she was crazy back then. We had a spraying business and stuff like that. But she was right on, too, that silent spraying. It ain't too far away.
Right. And the things we're seeing in Australia, that's especially California, is following right along with some of those same things. And the potential, we think we've had big fires in California, as they've had record fires almost every year. For the last 25 years, and we're seeing over in Australia that the fires here pale in comparison, not only in size, but in intensity, and towns just burned over and destroyed, and don't think that's not God, in a way saying, hey, America, wake up, this can happen to you as well.
Well, look at Australia. It's a godless country. Look at California. It's a godless state. And all the states are falling right in behind it. But, God's wrath is fire was one of his things, earthquakes and everything. See, I think this is why they talk about global warming so much. So they want to divert that from relating it to God's wrath. So yes. They got to blame, the people for all that they do, which is somewhat true. So,
amen. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Phone's ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
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 I'm sure you've all heard about this recent refugee ban up in northern Minnesota in Beltrami County. After an executive order that the president made making it possible for them to ban refugees, one of these northern counties up there went ahead and did it. And that Somalian they got up there, Ilhan Omar, is screaming her head off about that, and I was just wondering if you guys had any comments about that or anything.
Well, they need to be stopping them, and they need to be banning them, because it's right now a lot of these refugees what's going on is their weapons of warfare, and is what's taking place is they're infected with disease, and they're coming in and they're strictly using them as weapons of warfare, and we need to be stopping them. We need to be stopping them and banning them from coming in.
And I think too that's part of that new spirit that's in the land. With this different president, you look at, 8 years of Obama and 8 years of the Clintons, and it was just the opposite. It was open borders. It was, yes, we'll take anybody and everybody. Jason's absolutely right. The diseases that we've seen, we've talked about that over the last 20 plus years. The third world diseases that we have seen here in this country, Shaka and penicillin-resistant, antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis, and just all types of things that have come in over the last 16 to 25 years. You can't just turn that off with the system that we live under today. But our president is sure trying. He's trying to stem the flow. And the people are waking up and saying, yeah, we shouldn't be bringing these untold, unnumbered masses in. And then when they come in, we think, well, dang, that's just tough up there in Minnesota. Well, guess what? Guess what? When they come in and they buy an apartment complex a block down the street from your house, and all of a sudden there's 100 Somalia families living in there that don't understand running water or indoor toilets or processed food. And it's just a huge strain on the whole economy, on the local economy, on the school boards, and on the, you know, the local governments that the feds don't care about that. It just is. It's just a greater strain and a greater changing, a morphing of our society. And you see, like, with that head-scarfed Omar up there, you know, she was elected by who? By who? You think, Johnny Smith out there elected her? No, it was Mohammed and Omar Lee and all the others that they have brought in over these last 20 years, and they multiply like rabbits, and have elected them. And it's good to see that there's a change. There's a new spirit in the land. The people are waking up, like it says in Isaiah, awake, awake, O Zion. And that's a process, but that process is happening. John mentioned, you know, new industries coming back to the United States. Those things are happening. Now, are they happening all at once? You know, did we open up 100 steel mills like there were in the 60s and 70s? No. But Ford and GM, you're seeing, are bringing manufacturing back. Even I think I saw a thing here. What was it earlier? Back in 2019, Apple is looking to do more manufacturing in Texas, and so we're seeing a shift, a change. It just takes time, and I think that this refugee ban is a good start for that shift as well. That's my thoughts on it.
And with that ban as well, one article I read made mention that it's not only doing that, but giving power back to some of the more local governments as opposed to just centralized all in the federal government.
Yep, those are good things.
Great comments.
You noticed that Elon Musk just declared that Tesla's newest vehicle will be built in China, you know. The sad thing is there's so many millennials out there who, just like Jason opened the show up with, that are apologizing, these companies are apologizing to China for taking our industry back. And, they'll look at that as a positive, building the Teslas in China versus what it once was, that, you know, made in America.
Me and John had a furniture manufacturing business, and John came up, it was John's idea, and he said, let's get some USA flags, and let's put them on every one of our bags. And, you know, we were proud to be made in the USA, and, it was something that we believed in and we wanted to do. So I tried to find USA flags that were printed in the USA and couldn't find them. How sad is that? You can't even find a sticker that has a United States of America flag stamped on it that is printed in the USA.
Well,
that alone says a lot about our society.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Think about it, too, though. Tesla got billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund their electric cars, and now they're going to take their production to China.
Well, he's just following what most other industries in the United States have done in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. The very same thing, you know. GM did that. Ford did that. It's a successful business plan if you're just looking to make money. Of course, it doesn't do anything for the local economy, what a mess. Now, Jason, I'm glad to say thankfully, again, like we've been talking about, some of that has changed. You can find, there are more and more, you can go online, I think it's Roger Simicker, if I have that name right, Made in America, and he has he searches out things that are made back in America, whether it's T-shirts or jeans or auto parts, whatever it is, but industries that are coming back. And if you look, you have to look, but there are more and more made in America. Ace Hardware is a good example. They carry a lot of made in America light bulbs and products there. Now, you just have to look. You know, you have to be, if that is something you care about, you can find things that are that once again are made in America. I know for one, Ace Hardware is a good, not everything they have is, but they do carry a lot more than Walmart as far as made in America mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, you think back, John, like you mentioned about Musk taking all this government funding. You know, Walmart, they used to advertise when Sam Walton was there, you know, so many jobs. We brought so many jobs to Little Rock, Arkansas. Or, you know, we added this product, and it's made in Birmingham, Alabama. And I remember those signs in Walmart that they used to advertise for that. You know, they push that. It was almost like they were pushing Make America Great Again. They didn't have that slogan, but when they first opened up, and I remember when their stores opened up, that was the type of thing that they had, you know, and they had people working there left and right, you know, a couple greeters and all types of good customer service, and made in America, you know, advertising, and that's what they carried, and that has gone by the wayside as well.
That was the first wave of attack against mom and pop
yes.
Businesses all across the country. So,
yes.
You know, Walmart used to be the evil empire. And you know what? Walmart thought they had it sewn up until Amazon came along. And now Amazon's the evil empire, whether you realize it or not.
Amen. Well, Anders, thanks for your call. Hope you have a blessed weekend.
I agree with Paul 100%.
Thank you.
You know, it's a chastisement. And until people repent, it's just going to be completely upon us. You know, I've been thinking about John for a long time. You said 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. You know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And, you know, I mean, I believe that I've seen that in some parts taking place for some people. But it's people that have, you know, that are doing just that they've humbled themselves, they're turning from their wicked ways, they're seeking the face, they're asking God to guide them, direct them, and for his hand to be upon them. And, it's happening for those that are doing that, and I believe that.
Amen.
Well, it's only a remnant that's going to be saved. You're going to, you know, the Bible says, don't weep when the wicked are cut off. And you look around you, there's going to be a lot of people cut off because they don't want to hear, they're not looking. When I talked to a guy this week. He's looking, you know, and it's so refreshing. I never really met him before, but I'm just the kid is looking, and you know, it makes me excited because that's the key. You know, when I started looking for the truth, and I finally run into Scriptures for America, but I mean, it was a long journey to get where I am today. But you got to be looking, you know, and what's going on today? You know, Trump has given people courage to speak out more than ever. You know, down in Virginia, they got this thing going on with the guns. Look, they're talking civil war. You know, and that's a good thing because people are thinking, you know. And does anybody know about the original Tesla?
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Do anybody know about the original Tesla? See, he had electric. See, all you had to do was put an antenna on your house and you could get all electric you wanted, but they couldn't meter it. So that's why he got Edison.
Yeah, that was down here in Colorado Springs, and basically they came in and confiscated everything and wanted it destroyed. And it was Edison versus Tesla at that point in time. And you know, it was Tesla didn't promote the Jewish bankers or the the oil companies.
Yeah,
do you remember
what you're talking about? Nikola Tesla. Yeah.
Remember that East Coast blackout a few years ago. The whole thing, it got into southeast Michigan, but they shut the whole eastern seaboard down. But what they did, they turned on a Tesla tower and it just about blacked out the system.
Wow.
I think that was up in Canada, somewhere in the northeast they did that, but that's what actually happened. I mean, it blacked out, they just shut the whole system down. It wasn't very long, but I don't remember all the details of it, but that's what was going on. But the Tesla, he could transmit electricity like a TV antenna. So, and you could just have an antenna out there and use all you wanted. It was something. But this guy today ain't who he is. He stole the name again.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when I think that a lot of these things are tying into what Paul was saying and Anders was saying and we're all talking about today is they bring in these refugees, they want to call them, and it isn't an asymmetric type of warfare. And these Muslims, and we see all these quotes about them, you know, by golly, we can, they got to pray six times a day or, you know, whatever it is to, whatever they pray to, and they shut down city blocks back east so they can all come out and do this and that, but, our economy and our people are driven at a rate that it reminds you of Exodus 5, you know, where Pharaoh said they're lazy and they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God, so make their work heavier and that way they won't pay any attention to these words. Let them go grab their own straw. And those are the things that they're trying to do. And it's like more for them, less for God's people, you know. They've got us chasing around trying to find parts. They've got us, you know, people are financially strapped, and it's just a way to drive them away from that seeking that Paul's talking about. You know, you're so caught up in what's going on all around you that you never stop to smell the coffee or smell the roses or look at God's handiwork, you know. So I think we see a lot of that. Yeah,
it's like Paul said that the stranger goes higher and higher, and you'll go lower and lower. I can still hear the pastor saying that over and over, and it really does a lot to remove the scales from your eyes and unstop your ears, because a lot of people have never heard that, never understood it, and when you bring that up and you show them the scripture, it something clicks.
Yeah, it is obvious. It's obvious. There's a town a little ways from me here, about 30 miles away. It was Holland, Michigan, and it was a test market for stuff. It was the most conservative town probably in the world, and they would take their products into Holland. If it would sell there, it would sell anywhere. But then the so-called religious organizations brought in the Asians, and that town has gone to the pits. And I've heard people that don't know their buck from a hole in the ground say that the church has destroyed Holland, Michigan, because they brought these all these Asians in. And you know, when you bring a foreigner in, you know, I just read at Tucker Carlson, my daughter's into that big, and I just read his book, and there's nothing good about him. He's pointing out some things that are going. The segregation is coming back. You know, the people, they wanted segregation. Well, now everything is polarizing. The blacks are going to the blacks, and everybody's going back to their own parties. But he said, one thing he said, well, when the white people figure that out too, something will be different. You know, his favorite band, the Grateful Dead, so there's definitely something wrong with him. You know, when you get the overlook with that, he's telling you, do you guys know who he is? I never knew who he was, so my daughter told me. So, but he's on Fox or something, and he does a show, and she, but I read the book, but you know, there's some really neat things in there from an overview from somebody that don't really know what they're talking about. Because when you bring scriptures into it, then it's obvious. So, but, and another thing, my son-in-law went over to China and set up a factory that makes solenoids for cars, and, General Motors told him, well, you're going to China to set up a factory. So he was over there 2 years setting this factory up. And they took an $8 million machine that was made in Germany and to make the solenoid, and he went over there and set it up. But they could not hire a Chinaman to run that factory because they can't think ahead.
Imagine that.
But so I'm telling you, the Anglo-Saxon influence in China is huge, and people ain't realizing what's really going on. See, we got to go back and look at this. You know, this country took a dive right around 1900. In 1913, we had the Federal Reserve. By 1917, they had us in World War One. See, when they can control your money, they can control you. And see, we've been going down. You see, I have a real problem with Veterans Day, because ever since World War One, we've been fighting off this soil and fighting for the New World Order. And if you go into service, think you're a patriot. You're not. You're just, you know, and you got to be careful. I have a coffee guy, he's 97 years old, and he fought World War One, and he was in blown under a tank. You know, you got to be careful how you say this because you can hurt some people. But this whole thing is going, and he knows it. He knew it. He knows it's wrong. But he, you know, he's not biblically based. So, but this country has been, the Federal Reserve is very destructive, and that's what you got. And I read another book too. They had that Bretton Woods where they had all that thing up in New Hampshire. They had that now, and you know, but it was all organization, the New World Order. You know, and people don't realize it for what it is. But you, when, even what's going on today, you got to look at the people that pull the strings with the money. That's what's going on here. You know, the, who's behind Amazon? Wouldn't that be interesting to find out who's behind all that?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, they want to destroy God's people. But don't, just, you know, I read the end of the book. We win. Don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's a good note to end on. Want to invite people to church, Richard?
Sure. And we do that very thing. You know, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly. And being that we're exposed to the world all week long, it is a good thing if you'll take a little time and gather with like-minded Christians for worship and for music and for communion and to look into the Word. And so we invite you to do that. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow morning. That's Sunday morning, and you can do that. Right at your computer. You can go to scriptures4america.org, click on the live video stream. That'll start at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That'll be 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 for you West Coasters. I know we've got some out there that tune in. And join us for church. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. We'll have John looking forward to your live message, and we'll have communion. And so, again, we encourage you to do that. Pastor saw years ago as a way to for the remnant to do that over the computer, and we've been doing it ever since. And if you don't have a video stream, we'd be glad we record it. We'd be glad to send you a DVD of the service. We have hundreds on the DVD Church Ministry, and we send those out. Well, men, thanks again. Hope you have a blessed weekend, and we will see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.